again, everybody. This is Tom Snyder. This hour is an encore presentation of the radio show. You won't be able to call us tonight, but we hope you'll enjoy it. My guest in this hour tonight, and I've been trying to get him here for a long time, and he said he'd come, and tonight he's here, is Jay Leno. Mr. Leno, welcome to these microphones.
Why, thank you. Thank you, Tom.
How has your life changed, pal? I remember I saw you on a demonstration tape from the Improv. Years and years ago, the late Freddie Prinze did a tape, Freddie Prinze and his friends.
Right.
And you were on there. Tim Thomerson was on there.
Oh, that was the first, one of the first HBO specials. Yeah.
Elaine Boozler. A lot of people were on there.
Sure.
And you were funny then.
Well, thanks,
I. In fact, you had one of the funniest lines. You were doing a routine on new ways to enjoy milk on a television
commercial.
Oh, that's
right. Remember? Who knew or something?
Wow, have milk with cookies.
Well, that's what they used to say, and they had milk with a sandwich, you know. Yeah. Gee, I've been pouring it over pizza and fish all these years.
That's the line, okay.
I can't quite remember, yeah.
And then you developed as, you know, a working man's comedian. What do you call yourself? You're on the road a lot.
I was on the Letterman show one time, and I called Letterman an armchair general comedian, and I said I was a foot soldier of comedy in the comedy trenches, you know. But that was the joke. I don't really call myself that.
All right. How has your life changed since this, you know, tremendous success now is the permanent...
Nothing has changed.
Well, I mean, you're the permanent Monday night host on The Tonight Show. You're under contract to NBC.
You don't have to
be out there in the car night after night if you
actually
don't want to be.
Actually, you do. I mean, what this does, it gives you the first 10 minutes free, essentially. You know, usually when you work in the casino or in a show and you're opening for somebody, before the star comes out, they announce the comedian, you just hear that collective... You know, that sigh of, oh, great, who's this guy? You know, that kind of stuff. So, and when you talk to new comedians, what they always say is, oh, it took me 20 minutes, but I got him. Oh, I never got him. Or it took me 3 minutes, and I got him. There was always a certain amount of time before you could get them.
Right,
you know?
Right.
When people know who you are, well, they're listening from the get-go. You know, so now it's the other way around. Now when they introduce the singer, people go, oh, singer, oh, God, who's this guy? You know, so it's fun to have it on the other foot there. But nothing really changes. I mean, maybe you stay in a nicer hotel or whatnot, mm-hmm. gigs and that. But, you know, when you're coming up through the comedy clubs, which is very strange, because I used to work, you eat according to where you are in the pecking order in show business, you know. Like when you work the comedy, I remember I worked one place, and I was the headliner, and they said, Jay, you can have anything on the menu except the beef. And they said to the middle act, you can have anything on the appetizer menu. And they actually said to the opening act, well, you can have any of the sandwiches in the machine. So I said, like, can I give him my potato? Is that against the law? I mean, it's very strange. I once worked a place, you know, I used to work strip joints before they were comedy
clubs. Okay, hold the thought for a second.
Hold the thought for a moment.
Let me do commercials.
All right,
okay.
we'll Jay, be right back.
Jay, we're sponsored here. My guest is Jay Leno. You're on the radio show. We'll be right back with Mr. Leno. But now these words from our sponsors. Thanks for listening, everybody. With Jay Leno, you were working in strip joints.
No, I worked, actually, the strangest place, because now you have comedy clubs, but I... One of the strangest places I ever worked was a place called the Mine Shaft. This is one of the oddest places. And you work with the strippers, you know. But there were no lights in the club. Guys would pay like $5 to get in. And then for another $5, they were given a miner's hat with a light on the top of it. So they would sit with these lights. And, of course, no one was looking at me. I'd always be standing in the darkness. And they'd be looking at whatever part of the girl they wanted to look at with this stupid light on their head. And occasionally I'd say something, and they would look over. And you couldn't look at the guy because he had a flashlight in the middle of his head. So you'd look at him, and you'd have to turn away because it was so bright. And when you get hit with things, you couldn't see them coming. I mean, just very strange places.
You, according to your biography, hit Los Angeles with not two quarters to rub together or very little money.
No, I didn't have any money, but that's not a sob story.
It's not a sob story, but it's an interesting part of your life because it's character building, Jay.
I suppose so. You know, I got here. I was so naive. I was so stupid. I landed in... I got on a plane. I just came here. And I had like $100. And I said to the cab driver, take me to the Sunset Strip. And I'd never been here. And I thought the Sunset Strip was like Times Square. And he took me way the hell down in Vermont somewhere. The strip runs like 80 miles. He took me way down. And it was like $88. And finally, I just said, well, you know, I'm thinking, well, I got to give him a tip. I'll get off here. And I'm in the middle of... no one spoke any English. It was like a Korean neighborhood or something. And I hitched all the way back up to the Comedy Store. And You know, I would just hitch around town, and I remember I was hitching on Santa Monica Boulevard. This guy picks me up. He says, "Hi, how are you?" I said, "Hi," and he kind of puts his hand on my leg, you know. I said, "Well, I'll get out here," and I'm thinking, oh, strange guy. And I'm so stupid.
I hate that when that happens.
I'm hitching again. Another guy picks me up, and he says, "How are you? Where are you going? Oh, and oh." And he starts to kind of say things, you know. I'm thinking, oh, well, I'll get out here. And I'm thinking, what's the matter with these people, you know? Then I'm hitching again. I finally make it to Century City, and riding along with this other guy, and he's talking to me. He's saying things again. And we pass this other guy hitching who's wearing literally, he's completely naked except for leather bikini shorts and two, like, leather things across his chest and leather gloves. And the guy's riding me says, he goes, "See, I like you. You're not as obvious as that guy." I said, "Ah, let me out of here." I'm so, you know, in Boston, everybody hitchhikes, you know? You just hitchhike.
It is different, isn't it?
Oh, I had the strangest experiences. Because when you start out, you know, you take jobs. You know, when I used to work the Improv in New York, these cruise ships would come into New York City, and the cruise directors would come around the clubs, you know, like, "We need a comedian for this weekend. Hey, how about me? Mine, all right." You know, the comedians would go, "I'll pay $75. You there?" You know, like that. And the comics would get like $7,500 to do 2 days on the cruise, and you got a stateroom and all this stuff. But I never really liked ships and things, so I didn't do too many of these. And one name at the Improv with a buddy of mine who shall remain nameless because he's famous now, and if I ever told him. But the cruise director comes in, and he says, "Oh, we need a comic this weekend. Jay, how about you? You want to go?" But I had a job that weekend. Uh-huh. It was paying $100. I said, "How much are you paying this week?" He says, $450, $500. $500? Now, this is like five times. I said, oh, when I had this job, and I said, "Gee, oh, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to cancel the last minute. It's unprofessional." So my friend said, "I'll take it." And I said, "Oh, boy, 500? Why is it more?" "Oh, it's a special group." "Oh, what is it?" "Hey, special group. You know, what's the group? You want the job or not?" You know, okay. So my friend goes on the cruise, you know. He gets on the ship and kind of looks around. I didn't see anything particularly odd. He goes to his stateroom. He just crashes out. And then the boat leaves there, and they're out on, I don't know, they're out, you know, they cruise around in Jamaica somewhere. Mm-hmm. And they're out about 5 hours. And he goes out on deck. Turns out to be a gay nude cruise.
Perfect.
It's like perfect. 800 nude guys running all over the ship, and he's the entertainment. So he goes to do the show, and they're all sitting in folding chairs completely naked, and he's on stage, and they're screaming at him, "Take off your clothes," and he ran back to the stateroom hysterical, locked himself in, and they're banging on the door, "Hey, come on!" And they're all drunk, they're all yelling. It was unbelievable, and he's never, and I can't say his name.
Because he's famous
he's
now.
He's famous, and it was, yeah, very embarrassing.
Take me back to your days at Emerson College.
Oh, those were the days. The men were men, the women were glad of it. Wooden ships, iron men, yes, siree.
What were you studying there?
Oh, you know, I took speech therapy. I took it because the...
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. I took it because the college catalog said, it said speech therapy, no written exam will be given. At the end of the semester, each student will be required to give a 10-minute talk. I'll take that one.
Okay.
I was not a good student. I did... Actually, I cheated once in school. Did you ever cheat in school?
No.
You never cheated in school?
Never did.
You know, this is a story. I was going to tell it on the Tonight Show, but it's absolutely true. I cheated, and I got caught. But I got caught in the stupidest... You know, I was stuck, and I needed a term paper, and I went... In Boston, they had all these term paper places.
Yeah.
And I went down to this term paper place.
You mean a little store on the campus?
Where you could buy a term paper.
Yeah.
And the guy said, "What grade do you want?" I said, "Oh, I want an A." You know, I figured I might as well. He said, "Well, it's $100 for an A." I said, "Okay." And I gave him $100. He says, "For $10 more, we'll type your name up on the title sheet and everything. You don't even have to read the paper." And I said, "That's great.
Cool."
So I give him $110. I hand a paper in, you know, and I'm sitting in class there, just sitting around. And the teacher gets up and she says, "I am very disappointed in the level of work of this class. It is terrible. It is lazy. But there is one student who frankly surprised me. He got an A, and I was surprised that he knew anything about hotel-motel management." Now I'm staring out the window, you know. And she said, "I'd like that student to come up and get his paper now." And she says, "Mr. Leno?" "Yes." "Hotel motel management." I said, "What?" She says, "Hotel motel management." I said, "What about it?" She goes, "What do you know about hotel management?" I said, "Me? I don't know anything about hotel." I didn't even read the stupid paper I handed in. I got an F and I got a... Oh, it was awful. I mean, I was so... I was so too lazy to even read the paper I handed in.
Now, Fs I got when I was in college.
Yeah.
The honest way. I always got an honest...
You earned your F, didn't you?
I earned my F. It didn't cost me $110 to get an F.
I was so...
And I was always scared because the school I went to, Marquette, your grades went home by mail to your mother and father.
Yeah.
And my mom and pop were paying the freight for my education.
Right, right.
Now, for me to go home on the trolley with an F was, you know...
Oh, yeah.
In the stomach. Did you?
And that was the days when they had trolleys too, I imagine.
Did you have to report to your parents on this F in any way at all? Or
No, just the grade at the end. My father would, it's mail the grade home. My father would say, "Now, why do I sign this?" So the teacher, "Dad, you don't sign. How's the teacher going to know?" The teacher doesn't care, Dad. The teacher's like stoned. It's 1972. People are marching up and down the streets. No, the teacher's younger than I am.
So whether you flunked the course or not was no big deal.
Actually, I was an honor student eventually there, but I...
My guest is Jay Leno. We'll continue after these words from the affiliated radio stations. We're back with Jay Leno. You know, you were kind enough to have me on the show with you one night at the Tonight Show, which I don't want to talk about because I was so terrified of the whole thing.
Now, why were you terrified? You did fine. You were on TV. I watched you every day in college. Why were you terrified to be on the show? You were very funny.
I don't do well with 500 people in the seats. I do well here with you one-on-one. They can bring all the cameras in here they want. It's no problem. But, Jay, when I get with 500 people and you're out there and you're funny, it's too much for me. I can't handle it.
Really?
But you can. You were cool. You were calm. And as you said to me, and I hope you don't mind my saying this.
No. What did I say?
It's not as difficult as you thought it was going to be doing that show. You said to me, and I hope you don't mind my, what are you going to do, Jay? Not ever have me on the Tonight Show again? You said, this sure beats getting in the car and driving around the country every night.
Oh, it's an easy job. I think it's
easy.
Well, I think it's, you know what it is? You get to the point when you first start in this business, like when I first started doing the Tonight Show as a guest, I go out and I buy a new suit every time I did the show, you know, and get my shoes polished and a new shirt and a new tie. And after about the 10th time, you find yourself going, well, this smells clean enough. I'll wear this, you know. you know, the real trick to show business is getting to the point where it doesn't matter. You know, I used to go to, you know, it's so funny. I grew up in Boston and I was raised back there, and there's a certain Eastern sensibility. And I would come to casting meetings out here. And I would literally put on my Sunday suit to go to casting meetings. I walk in, I go, "How do you do, sir?" "Well, thank you, ma'am, for seeing me. Is this what I'm supposed to read?" "Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate you seeing me." And I never got anything. Then I started to go in as a wise guy. "Oh, nice casting. Is this The Office? What kind of dump is this? Is this really a show you call as a script?" And just making fun of them and humiliating them, and they loved it. It was great. You know, it's the exact opposite of going for a real job. You know, if show business people had to audition for, like, a job at General Motors or something, you'd be thrown out of the office. But, you know, it takes a while to learn that. You know, I remember I auditioned for the Jack Parr Show in 1972. I was still in college trying to be a comedian. I went down to New York with my suit, and, you know, I remember the guy said, "Is that the suit you'd wear if you did the show?" And I went, "Yeah, this is like my Sunday go-to-meeting suit, you know, the double-breasted, and I had my little vest and tie, and, you know." And I was very polite, and I thought, oh, I did very well. I was polite. I wasn't rude or anything. But then, I remember there were a bunch of us, and the guy said to me, "How are you, any good?" And I said, "Well, I think I'm probably okay. I'm fairly new." And then the kid next to me, who was been doing it less than I. "How are you?" "I'm great." "Oh, take him." "Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute now. I'm giving an objective opinion here, and this pinhead gets the job because he says he's great." You know, that's the first thing you learn about this business. It's so silly that way.
It's harder to be a guest on The Tonight Show than it is to host it. You know why?
Well, I think it is.
That chair is so uncomfortable. The guest chair.
Well, it's not that. You see, what you do is when...
No, but they never see the left side of your face if you're a guest on The Tonight Show.
Well, that
ever.
May be true.
Think about it. Yeah. I mean, you're over. I can't show because the cameras aren't working tonight. And I don't have the video machine up, but you're always looking away from the...
Well, the odd thing is you have to make one person laugh. You know, it's like when you do The Tonight Show or Letterman Show, people always say, "Hey, Johnny really liked you." You know, they never say they liked you. Once in a while, people say, "Oh, I enjoyed you last night." But for the most part, they'll say, "Boy, Johnny had a good time with you last night."
"Hey, David was really good with you. He liked you a lot."
That's right. So when you're the host, suddenly that pressure is off, you know, and it's the audience. So it's a little bit different.
How do you find interviewing people? Does that come natural to you?
Yeah, that comes natural enough to me, I guess. I mean, you know, I travel so much. You sit at the airport, a guy sits down next to you. "Hi, how you doing? This is my wife." "Oh, what do you do?" "I'm a carpenter." "Oh, really? There's my plane. See you later." "Oh, my next guest," you know. And you know, so you spend my life pretty much doing that anyway. You know what I'm saying? I like to talk to people.
I know you do. I know.
I find it interesting. You know, there are two kinds of people in this town, I think. You know, some people, you put a bunch of magazines in a room and you put a crowd of people at the other end, and there are people that will gravitate towards the magazines and people will gravitate towards the people. I like people. I mean, I generally get a kick out of them. I enjoy talking to almost anybody. There are very few people that irritate me to the point of where I would not want to speak to them.
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, you came in tonight with a book. You're hot on this book, aren't you?
No, I'm just reading it. To me...
Well, I find it fascinating that Jay Leno... Pass it over here.
What is that? Well, the name of the book is...
It's on the cover.
Money in Class in America by Lewis Lapham. Lapham, is that how you say his name?
I believe so.
I guess so. No, I, you know, when you read things that are well written, it just is a
But now, what attracts you to this particular book here, Money and Class
in America? Sociology. It's just about how Americans are affected by money. And although it's not a comedy book, it gives you ideas. Like, to me, the best source for comedy for me is not jokes or anything people say. It's letters to the editor. You know, you pick up the Times, you pick up Newsweek and U.S. World and News Report, whatever it may be, and people put their most intelligent thoughts in there. I mean, I remember reading a letter the other day. It wasn't a joke, but the guy was saying how, you know, if you borrow, like, $50,000 for a house and you can't pay it, they foreclose on you. But if you lend a foreign country $10 million and they can't pay it, we lend them $10 million more to help them pay it. And he was saying, why is this? But it was written very intelligently.
Yeah,
and I thought,
yeah.
Oh, what a great idea. I mean, there's a funny basis for
yes,
a joke
there is.
You know? I mean, I always like to listen to good conversation. I don't necessarily agree with William F. Buckley or any of these people, but I like the way they use the language. And good conversation just, it gets you going.
We'll continue with Jay Leno after these words. In the break, you were saying something, and it's true, and everybody within sound of your voice will nod their heads when you say it again. The reverence we have for money, the way money changes our attitude when we're in the presence of it or have the feel of it.
Oh, yeah, I think that's true. I mean, you become eccentric, you know. That's what it is. I mean, that's what we're discussing. Like, when a poor person robs a rich person, he goes to jail. When a rich person, like a landlord, robs a bunch of poor tenants, well, he pays a fine, or
he
does
pays
some
a
community
fine.
Work. Yeah.
Exactly right. And the reverence we have for money in terms of the way banks are designed. They're like Gothic cathedrals.
Oh, sure. That's another thing. You go to a bank, and it's like a Greek thing, and you talk like this. Like, there's an ad on TV now where they show this elderly couple, well, we don't know how to invest. We'll go down to the bank. And they walk into this bank, and it looks like, you know, just just this huge monolith. And the, well, come, don't be frightened.
Come right in, know, and we'll help you along.
Yeah, right.
Sure.
Keep investing your money until it's all gone. I mean, that's what I was talking about in this book. They have a thing. If you know, it's like when you go to a bank to borrow money, you have to look like you don't need the money.
Right.
You know, you have to borrow a Cadillac and borrow a suit and go in there.
Right.
And act like, well, oh, and another thing, can I have $10,000? You know, I don't know why. You can't walk in torn underwear and broken shoes.
Okay, let's go to Henry in Lowell, Massachusetts. Hi, Henry. You're on the air with Jay Leno.
Hey, hi, gentlemen. Nice to talk to both of you tonight, as a matter of fact.
Hi, Henry. Nice to hear that accent. I'm from right down the street. I'm from Andover.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. A friend of mine told me you went to the same public school as he did.
Yeah, but he probably graduated.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
I had some mix-up over a grade point thing.
That's interesting. Well, he graduated from high school in 77, actually.
Oh, I graduated in 68.
No, wait a minute. Long before that. What am I talking about?
Now, what are you doing, Lowell?
Pardon?
What kind of work you do?
I work for a leading computer company.
The leading computer company.
A leading computer.
Oh, a leading. I thought that was like leading university.
I'd like to say it's the leading computer company, but it'll get all the others.
Oh, I see. And you sell computers and things.
One of the top computer companies located right here in beautiful.
Well, there you are.
Henry, did you have a question or a comment for Jay?
Sure do.
Good. Why don't we get to that, Henry, and see how it flies?
Definitely.
Okay, pal.
I'd like to talk about the concept of comedy writers. And I've noticed that over the years, traditionally, comedians have had writers who prepared material for them. And I've often wondered if that's really necessary, if a good comedian should really be creative enough to...
Nowadays, a little bit different. You know, years ago, comedy has kind of gotten the way music has. If you're just a guy with a good voice, but you don't play an instrument and you don't write music, your chances of being successful are very, very slim because there's no money in it.
Right.
Comedy material is very, very expensive. You know, I mean, a 5-minute monologue would probably cost somebody thousands and thousands of dollars, literally. So you've got to be able to write it and do it yourself. When you get to the point where you're hosting the Tonight Show and something like that, you occasionally take some outside material, but 60, 70, 80%, you have to write yourself. You know, the days of a guy driving a bus with a busload of writers behind him and writing the material as they get to each stop is kind of over because it's got to be more personalized now. You have to talk about things you know. You can't really do the drunk at the ballpark on New Year's Eve anymore. You know, you've got to do... Most comedians now, for example, I could do some material and you'd say, oh, he's doing Steve Martin. It's not the actual joke that Steve's, but you might recognize the way I move or the way I phrase things. Same thing with Robin Williams. People, oh, he's doing Robin Williams. The old days, guys would steal jokes. Now you can almost take someone's persona or someone's style of performing. Are you a comedy writer?
No.
No, he works at one of the leading
computer...
You
work at one of the leading computer
stores, right.
He just writes the newsletter.
I've been fascinated by it, though.
Ah.
You know, I've often wondered how it, you know, it's a very interesting topic altogether, I think.
Well, okay. Thank you. Good talking to you.
All right. Thanks, Henry.
I'll let somebody else come on.
All right.
All
good
right.
idea.
Hey, that's pretty big of him.
All right. Thank
He's a hell
you,
of a guy. Thanks, Henry.
Okay. Goodbye, Henry. Writing comedy is very, very difficult. Making something funny, be it on television or on stage,
yeah.
is a very difficult assignment and a very, very hard thing to do.
Well, I guess so, but...
Well, no, it is. I mean,
yeah, but
I mean, you sit here and you read a lot of books and you read a lot of newspapers. You've told this audience all the magazines, and you're reading that to get information upon which to do intelligent comedy.
Yeah.
And that's not an easy thing to do. You spend a lot of your day observing things.
Well, you know, you observe things and you talk to people and you just have to try to remember what you said that got a laugh. That's really a trick to
it. Now, when you go to The Tonight Show, you've already said 60 to 70% of it is you and maybe 30% is what those writers
are. Well, no, I never met the writers on The Tonight Show.
You haven't?
No, I show up there at 3:30, 4 o'clock. I find out who's on. I tape at 5:30 and I leave at 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any of the... I haven't met any of the writers. I don't want to use Johnny's writers because
right.
it's not fair for me to say to someone who writes for Johnny Carson, gee, I don't like this joke, or if a joke sounds too much like Johnny, I don't want to be perceived as doing Johnny's material. So it's better for me to come in with all my own material. This way, it's just better. You know, I don't want to say to a guy who's been writing for 20 years, gee, this... I don't like this. And then
right.
you say, whoa, it'll work. Well, gosh. So it's easier just to come in and do
come
it
myself.
Come in,
do your
material. I mean, they're excellent writers. I just don't...
You want them to write for Johnny, not for you.
Yeah, I can... You know, I don't... I do it every Monday, so it's easy to do once a week.
Okay, Ed, you're on the air from Fort Wayne, Indiana with Jay Leno. Hello.
Hello, Ed.
Hey, Jay.
What are you doing, Fort Wayne?
I have a couple questions here.
Oh, okay.
Because I've been a fan of yours for a long time.
Well, you sound like a smart young man.
Pardon me?
What are you doing, Fort Wayne?
Well, I work in a restaurant, manager.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
There you go.
And I seen you, like I said, about 10 years ago. I was testing a VCR out, and I happened to tape you on the Johnny Carson Show.
Why, thank you, sir.
Still got it, doing that Evelyn Wood speed reading.
Oh, God, that was a long. You couldn't have been more than a boy at the time.
Yeah.
You're probably just a bus boy working your way up in the restaurant
yeah,
then.
Yeah, bus boy then, right.
What's the question?
Well, the question I had was, do you have any plans as far as doing anything, you know, with movies or... anything like that coming up?
Well, I was going to go see a movie tonight, and then I had to come over and do Snyder Show.
No, that's true.
Well, I did a movie a couple of months ago.
Collision Course, right?
Yeah, it was supposed to come out, but I think Dilo De Laurentiis, who did the movie for, they're bankrupt or something, so they can't get any money to release it. But I got my dough. Don't worry about that, Ed. And I had points, and I sold them back before the movie was finished. I'm no fool. I'm not stupid enough to bankroll something I'm in. But no, I like doing stand-up. Movies are okay, I guess, but it's just they're just annoying to make. You know, it's just hundreds of people involved, and it's...
Wait. Now you do your scene, wait. Now you do your scene, wait.
Yeah, plus it's always like, you know, you go to talk to actors, and, hey, Bob, Jay, he's emoting. Oh, all right, you know. And I have to wait for the yogi guy to leave or something. Can we just get something to eat, please? Do we have to do this every day? Plus, you go on these movie sets, and things happen, and you know... you know, like someone will say, too bad about Israel. Well, what happened to Israel? I was only gone for a week. Oh, you didn't hear? No, I was on this stupid movie set. You know, I mean, you don't, there's no TV, there's no magazines, nobody, you know, everybody reads Shirley MacLaine books. I mean, it's real annoying.
Okay, we're with Jay Leno. We'll continue after these words from our sponsors.
All right.
We're back with Jay Leno and Sandra. You're on the air from Jersey City. Hi, Sandra. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, Sandra. Hello. Great voice.
I just wanted to say that I think Jay, you're an intelligent comedian. I enjoy you very much.
Well, thanks, Sandra. Now, what do you do in Jersey City?
I'm a student.
Ooh. Where do you go to school?
It's at St. Peter's College.
St. Peter's College. Is that accredited?
Hmm?
Now, what are you majoring there?
Art history.
Art history. Ooh, that means you want to live at home with your parents.
not exactly.
Now, what are you going to do with this art history degree when you get out?
Oh, I want to collect art and be a rich lady and...
Really? Well, maybe have you stalked any of the Democratic candidates?
excuse me?
Nothing.
Nothing, no.
What was your question?
I don't really have one.
Oh, just kind of hanging out?
Yeah.
I met Marc Chagall once.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was at St. Paul de Vence, and I worked in a restaurant, and I said, doesn't Chagall live around here? And the guy said, yeah, he's sitting over there, and I went over and introduced myself, and he said, bonjour, monsieur. I said, well, how do you do? I'm American, and I think you're a great painter. Well, thank you. And then he died a couple of days later.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I don't think I had anything to do with it.
Thank you, Sandra.
Thank you, and I shall see you in Jersey City.
Okay, to Ed in Memphis, Tennessee. Hello, Ed. You're on the air with Jay Leno.
Good evening, Tom.
Yes, sir.
Well, in Memphis, I've been down. I used to work a club called Jerry's Nighttown.
Oh, really?
Yeah, down there in Memphis.
How long ago was that?
Oh, about 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
No kidding.
Do you ever hear Jerry's Nighttown?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. How you doing?
I'm very good, Jay. How are you?
Pretty good. What are you doing in Memphis?
Well, I'm a songwriter, as a matter of fact.
What are the odds of that? A songwriter in Memphis? How's it going?
I'm like a little fish in a big pond down here.
There's a country western tune right there.
I'm like a little fish in a big pond.
There you go.
Now, what was your... You
have a question?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Harley Davidson.
Ah, what do you want to know, sir?
Well, how reliable are they when you buy them used, and how easy are they to fix?
Well, are you going to buy a pre-evolution motor? What year are you looking at?
I think this is a 68.
Oh, 68 is pre-AMF. They're pretty good. The years to be leery of is about 74 to about 78.
When you say pre-AMF, that's the company that bought out Evan.
That bought
right?
Harley, yeah, and they kind of...
Or Harley Davidson,
yeah, they kind of... They boosted up production and quality fell for a little while, but the new ones are unbelievable. I've got two of them, and they're great. You should get one, sir.
Well, the way the sales are going on this song, I might be able to get me a new one.
Well, there you go. I think that'll be terrific, sir. Let's just keep hoping that he doesn't go straight.
I'm going to say hello to Stephen Garrett tomorrow. You want me to say anything?
Yeah, give him my best. Tell him not to go to not to go to Hawaii.
They're there now, sir.
Oh, I got to give him a call then. Okay, give him my best.
All right, thank you, Ed.
Good night, Tom.
All right, good night, sir. When you mentioned Harley Davidson, the reason I said Evinrude, they both were made when I was a kid in Milwaukee. Evinrude was the outboard motor company.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the bus to school used to go past Harley Davidson every day on the way to the school.
I didn't know you're from Milwaukee.
Yeah.
On Juneau Avenue?
No, I'm not on Juneau Avenue.
Oh, but Juneau Avenue is where the factory was.
That's where the factory was. And that's a good bike, huh?
Great bike.
Well,
American-made bike.
I understand, but for a time, they were in kind of a battle with the Japanese product, weren't
they?
Well,
the Japanese were accused of dumping bikes on the market, which I think was proved, although some people say they weren't, but... I think they were, but now they're fine. Now they're more than competitive.
To Jim in Victorville, California. Won't you go ahead, please?
Hello.
Hi, yes, Jim. Sir. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Now, Jay, please don't ask Jim what he does for a living.
All right.
Ask everybody what they
all
do
right,
for
Jim.
It's none of your business, Jay.
Okay.
What's your question?
Well, you made a mention of letters to the editor and your observations.
Mm-hmm.
I want to mention one of my observations, see what you think of it.
Okay.
It seems that if a person is a drinking person... and he drinks enough, they declare him a sick man, and they put him in the hospital, and his insurance company pays for it because he's a sick man.
Right.
But I heard of a guy that was sick 3 times, and they put him in jail for being sick. Think about that.
All right, I will...
I'm going to think about it, Jim. I'm not sure I follow it, but I'm going to think about it.
I follow that, sir.
If you're a sick person, and you're in a hospital, able to be attended to and paid for by the insurance company... why would you be thrown in jail for being sick?
Well, I don't know where this happened. I mean, again, this is...
Right here in this country.
Right here in this country? Well, that shouldn't be too hard to track down.
I'm trying to play on words here, because if you're a sick man, you can't be thrown into jail for being sick, can you?
No.
Well, no, I don't think so.
No,
but was
person.
This guy like... well, is there more story here, sir? What do you mean he was sick? You mean he was drunk?
Well, say a fellow drinks and he's declared sick because the medical industry now, they have another patient, and that's profitable. But now he's a sick man when he drinks, and he ends up being thrown into jail.
Well, you got me there. I don't know the facts,
Jim.
There,
now you've explained it. Thank you very much, Jim, for the call. I finally got it. We'll continue with more of your comments.
You're a better man than I am, Tom.
I'm vamping, Jay. Now these words for the affiliated radio stations. We're back with Jay Leno. To Gary in Burlington, Vermont. Hi, Gary. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, Gary.
Yeah, Jay.
How are you?
Tom, thank you. Let me speak to Jay here.
My pleasure.
Sure. Jay, I used to be a mechanic.
Well, I was kind of... I wasn't the guy with the smock and the clipboard, but I was just an oil change guy and a spark plug guy. And
I can identify with that.
Yeah, yeah.
So how were you... how'd you make out with your boys in the shop telling jokes?
Oh, all right. I was always, I used to work for Rolls-Royce Mercedes dealer. Actually, where are you calling from?
Burlington, Vermont.
Oh, I used to work at Foreign Motors in Boston.
Well, we do a lot of foreign stuff.
Oh, okay. I was always a guy transporting cars and doing things like that.
So I guess you can figure what I do.
What do you do?
I fix cars.
Oh, you fix, what kind of cars?
Mostly Saabs.
I like being a mechanic. You know the worst part about being a mechanic, boy? You'd go home, I would, like, wash my hands with steel wool. You take two showers. You go out at night, and girls would still go, I smell gas, you know. Well, like, when you wash it, you know, or you think you're real clean. You know, you go home, think you're real clean. You're sitting in a restaurant with a girl, and she looks at the back of your arm, and, oh, big glob of grease will be lying. And, you know, you just didn't see it. And that,
yeah, well, that you can sometimes work out. But I think the worst thing is you go out to eat, and somebody from another table recognizes you and comes over in the middle of your dinner and says, my car goes, ooh, bang, 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 what's wrong with it?
There you go. That is a problem.
You know,
it's worse for gynecologists, but that is a problem. Thank you. Good talking to you.
Hey, I'll see you later.
All right.
All right, bye, Gary. Forrest in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Forrest, you're on the air with Jay Leno. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Jay, I love it when you poke fun at some of the current TV shows.
Why, thank you.
Especially Jake and the Fat Man.
Jake and the... Well, now we have dramedies. This is the new... This is comedy without laughs. There's something new for TV, huh?
It's kind of a generic title, don't you think?
It's what?
Kind of a generic title.
Well, you know, people in this country are just getting dumber, so you have shows like... Well, though it's not on Kate O'Brien, Surgeon.
Yeah.
You know, the name of the show is there for idiots.
I love the pilot episode where they'd have special close-ups of William Conrad's stomach, as if people had difficulty figuring.
As if you didn't understand what was going on. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that kind of stuff is great. You know what I always like? You can always tell how dumb a show is by whether it has an epilogue or not. See, the epilogue is there for people too stupid to figure out what's happening. They always do this with the A-team. The end of the A-team, you got all these idiots sitting in a room, and then one guy will say, so when Bob shot Larry in the head with a gun, hey, wait a minute, that would be murder, wouldn't it? And then people home go, oh, I get it.
Got
it. Oh, no, boy, thank God. I, you know, it's so stupid.
It's scary.
Yeah.
Thank you, Forrest.
Okay, thank you.
All right, have a good evening. And Mr. Leno, thank you for
well, thank you, Tom.
Coming
there'll be a little something
in
your envelope this week as well.
All right, Jay Leno, who is a permanent Monday night guest host on The Tonight Show. Thank you, Jay Leno.
Thanks.
God bless.
Well, thank you.
If your radio station is staying with us, we'll be right back. If your radio station is leaving, I'm Tom Snyder.
It's
thanks.
A trick. Don't listen to him.
Thanks
it's a
for
trick.
Listening, everybody.
Let me tell you something. Enjoy this show because it ain't going to last much longer.
And thank you for staying up later. I'm Tom Snyder for Bob Costas. There is nothing wrong with your set. And my guest tonight is Howard Stern, who is radio in New York and Philadelphia. And if Howard Stern has his way, we'll soon be radio in Los Angeles.